Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Nathan Fox, that's Ben Olson. Together we're the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. We have a question here from, it's a logical reasoning question from Prep Test 73. You want to read it?
Yeah, let's do it. Vacuum cleaner salesperson. Okay, what are they going to say? To prove that this super XL vacuum cleaner is better than your old vacuum cleaner, I ran your old vacuum once over this dirty carpet.
Okay. You know, I'm like waiting for the other shoe to drop here. It's like, well, you haven't yet fired up the Super XL. I'm like wanting to see the Super XL in action.
Yep. But I'd like to see them run side by side, right? It's like,
exactly.
How do I compare? Like,
are these two-handed vacuum cleaners? Is there not a way that you could do them both at once? Or okay, you're also, where'd you get my vacuum cleaner?
Did you break into my house
at the door with my hey, give me back my fucking vacuum cleaner.
I saw you throw it away last week and I grabbed it.
yeah. Okay. So the salesperson has my vacuum cleaner and ran it over this dirty carpet. Hope it's maybe, not my
this must be
carpet.
A door-to-door salesperson.
That's what I'm imagining, is a door-to-door salesperson doing a demonstration in my house, running my vacuum over a dirty carpet. And then what? I don't know. I'm waiting to see what the other thing is, because this is already, I'm expecting this person to be a charlatan.
It's also weird too that this person is speaking in the past tense, right? Like, this is what I did. It's like, can you just do it in front of me right now? I ran the Super XL over the same area.
Okay. Wait, so you did my vacuum first, then you ran the Super XL over the same spot. Okay, I think I know what you're going to say next. You're going to be like, the Super XL still caught some dirt. So the Super XL gets out dirt that my old vacuum cleaner did not, which is a fact. But it's not really a very good experiment because you didn't run the experiment the other way. I mean, We'd at least have to run the experiment again, which is to run the Super XL first and then run my vacuum over that same carpet. But anyway, is that where it's going to go? Let's see.
All that dirt that the Super XL picked up is dirt your old vacuum left behind.
Uh-huh.
Comma. Proving, folks, the Super XL is the better vacuum.
Yeah, well, you didn't prove shit. I mean, that's not science. Like, I can see why you're a vacuum salesperson, not like a fucking scientist, because your methodology here, you didn't prove anything. To my satisfaction.
Yeah, maybe the customers are not scientists either if they're buying this shit.
Yeah, this vacuum salesperson would be in for a little lecture on I'm not a scientist myself, but I feel like I know enough about the scientific method to know that you would have to run the experiment the other way in order to be able to determine anything. I mean, like, I am not arguing with any of the vacuum salesperson's facts, including the part where he said all that dirt that the Super XL picked up is dirt your old vacuum left behind. That's a fact.
That is a fact.
My vacuum went over the carpet and then the Super XL picked up that dirt that had been left there by my old vacuum. You have proven that my old vacuum does not pick up all the dirt. But you have not proven that the Super XL is the better vacuum, because my vacuum, I mean, how dirty was this carpet? My vacuum might have done an amazing job. My vacuum might have gotten 99.9% of all the dirt off of the hella dirty carpet.
And if you had ran it again, it would have gotten it. Yeah.
Well, and it might have picked up even more dirt, right?
Like the stupid XL. Yeah.
You know what I would want to do is I would want to run my vacuum again over this carpet right now.
And see, right?
Like empty the chamber.
Yeah.
Empty the thing out, like put a new bag in. And then run it over the carpet again. Yeah, I remember those. God, those are bad.
Yeah.
But see, on a third time, my old dusty vacuum picked up dirt that the Super XL left on the second time.
Can I sell you my old vacuum?
Yeah. No. So the only part here that I'm actually arguing with is I'm granting all the facts. I am not disagreeing. You did all the things that you said you did, except for the part where you got to your conclusion that you're drawing, which is the Super XL is a better vacuum. You have not proven that to my satisfaction, because you would have to, at the very minimum, you would have to run the same experiment, but do the Super XL first and then do my vacuum. Not only that, but is this even the best test of how to prove what vacuum is better than what other vacuum? I mean, you're only talking about one metric here, which is how much dirt is picked up. What about how loud it is? What about how hard it is to push around? What about how hard it is to clean the chamber or the bag, vacuum bags or whatever? There's a million other factors here that we would want to know about in order to determine what the very best, you know, possible vacuum was, not just how much dirt it picks up. But even if we were only, you know, even if the conclusion wasn't so broad, even if it said proving the Super XL is better at picking up dirt,
we'd still be.
I still wouldn't buy it.
Yeah.
Because
did you mention price? Did we?
Oh yeah. No. Sure. I mean, a million. Yeah. Exactly. Price. A million other things. How expensive are the bags that we need to use? Like, oh well, this vacuum's cheaper, but that one uses more expensive bags. Bags or whatever.
Every
like,
week. Yeah.
How often do we have to? Yeah. Like, there's potentially infinite. How bad is it on the environment? How much electricity does it use? Mm-hmm. How storage? How hard is it to store this thing in the closet? How dangerous is it? Yeah, I mean, like, you go on all day with different factors, but even on the one very narrow factor of how much dirt it picks up, they still haven't gotten there. And that's the part that I would actually be the maddest about here, right? Because I feel like I would want to engage them on their actual argument, rather than thinking about all the arguments that they didn't make. I mean, I certainly have those chambered and ready to go if I had to like totally defend against this argument. But the first thing, as I would just talk about, I would like use their actual facts and grant them all of those facts and then go, but you know, logically, those facts just don't justify this conclusion, because you didn't do the experiment the other way around. Like, why didn't you run them side by side and figure out which one picked up more? Or why didn't you at least run this exact experiment again, but do the Super XL first?
Agreed. By the way, when I was a kid, I had to vacuum my house, and my vacuum was metal. It was badass. It worked really well.
I think that we had a metal one too. Yeah, with those. I don't know if people have vacuum bags anymore, because now it seems like all the modern vacuums just have like a plastic chamber that you empty
into the trash can. Yeah.
But they used to have these disposable bags, and they would just, when you had to take the bag out, it was just
the dust coming out.
Dust, and dust would go everywhere, and they were just oof. Bad. Yeah, bad times. Anyway,
cool.
What's the question going to ask?
The question says, the vacuum cleaner salesperson's argument is most vulnerable to criticism, that it ..
I think the most important word there is.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is where we get to see the real difference between a weakened question and a flaw question, which I never understood the difference between those two at the beginning of my LSAT teaching career. I was like, yeah, you know, weaken, flaw, whatever, same difference.
Yeah.
They're actually quite different.
Yeah.
Because flaw questions are asking us to describe something that is in the argument. Like, they did this.
Yeah.
I have to be able to prove they did it and then explain why it's wrong that they did that thing. Whereas a weakened question is which one, if true, would undermine the argument. And there I don't have to prove the answer, quite the opposite. I have to assume that the answer is true and then think about whether that impacts the argument negatively. So it's critical here that you do recognize that the burden is on you as the test taker, like you're vouching for one of these answers. You're going to have to stand up in court and say, yep, they did this thing. I can prove that they did this thing.
Yeah.
And I can explain to you how this thing is a problem. A lot of people want to go to that second step of like, well, this is a problem. If they did that, you know, if they use too small of a sample, well, whoa, okay, but you have to be able to prove that they used too small of a sample. And if they didn't do it, then no matter how bad that is, it's still not the answer.
Yeah. Answer A, does the argument ignore the possibility that dirt remained in the carpet even after the Super XL had been used in the test?
So here, when an answer starts on a flaw question, when an answer starts with ignores the possibility that,
mm-hmm.
that's really pretty easy to prove because they ignored almost everything. They ignored everything that they didn't literally say.
They ignored, yeah, the entire world, the entire universe, except for the three sentences or four sentences that they discussed.
Right. So can I prove that they ignored the possibility that dirt remained in the carpet even after the Super XL had been used in the test? Yeah, they did ignore that possibility. So I then go to the next step, which is, well, is that a problem? Mm-hmm. So the fact that the carpet is still dirty after the Super XL, you know, it's not great for the vacuum salesperson, but you can anticipate what they would say if you said, well, but there's still dirt in the carpet.
Yeah, it's cleaner than it was, and it caught stuff that your vacuum didn't. So it's better, yeah. Even if it's not perfect.
Remember, your vacuum did go over that carpet. Yeah. So you're pointing at the carpet. The problem there is that would weaken it would weaken your vacuum and the Super XL both. But I think that the salesperson's retort would be, well, no vacuum is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Some dirt will always remain in your carpet. Hate to break it to you.
It's not the biggest objection, right? Bottom line.
The devastating objection is, this is a dumb experiment. Why don't you run it again with the Super XL first and then my vacuum second?
Yep.
Like, it's just not a fair experiment. A is not accusing, it's just not describing the flaw that is obviously inherent in this argument.
It's not the biggest problem.
They did it and it's kind of a problem, but it's not anywhere near as big of a problem as I am anticipating I'm going to see in a later answer.
And notice too, the question says the vacuum cleaner's salesperson's argument is most vulnerable to the criticism that it blah, blah, blah. And if all the other answers turn out to be shit, then maybe we'd force ourselves to accept this. But I highly doubt it. This is just not that big of a problem. B, does the argument take for granted that the Super XL will still perform better than the old vacuum cleaner when it is the same age as the old vacuum cleaner?
It might seem as if they're suggesting that, but you can't prove that the vacuum salesperson has to agree with that. Takes for granted means necessarily assumes. This question is a good opportunity for people to recognize the difference between ignores the possibility that and takes for granted that. Ignores the possibility that just means you didn't think about this, didn't consider this, didn't mention this.
Yeah.
Takes for granted that means you must agree that this thing is true.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure the salesperson would like to say that the Super XL will perform better than the old vacuum cleaner when it's the same age as the old vacuum cleaner. But they actually aren't committed to that proposition because they're trying to sell me a brand new Super XL.
And
they're not vouching for the life of this. They're saying the Super XL is better than your old vacuum cleaner.
Period. End of story. His argument does not hinge on, oh, and by the way, it will last as long or longer than your old one and perform. No. The salesperson could have said that, but they didn't.
They didn't.
And
right.
That's not the reason for their conclusion.
I can't prove that they must agree that that's true.
Yep.
Next.
C. Does the argument take for granted that because the Super XL outperforms one vacuum cleaner, it is the best vacuum cleaner available?
I can see two things wrong with that.
Yep.
This guy's not claiming that this is the very best vacuum cleaner available. The conclusion of the argument is just the Super XL is better than your old piece of shit vacuum.
Yep.
That's the conclusion.
Yep.
Not that it's the best vacuum cleaner available.
Mm-hmm.
So it's wrong because of that, but it's also wrong because it misdescribes the reasoning. If you pick C, you're basically saying that this guy has proven that the Super XL has outperformed your vacuum cleaner. And I'm not willing to grant that.
Yeah.
I don't think that he has done that. He did not have evidence that the Super XL has outperformed my vacuum cleaner. That was his conclusion, not his premise.
Yep.
So that's at least two reasons why C is wrong. And it's critical here that students recognize how bad these answers actually are. They are frequently wrong for multiple reasons.
Yeah.
And that's why there's like no excuse for missing questions on logical reasoning. Because you're picking answer, your mistakes, you are frequently picking wrong answers that are actually wrong twice or more.
Multiple ways, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, and when you see one of them, okay, well, that's a start, but the best test takers are seeing two or three often, and that's why they can eliminate answers so quickly and confidently. Because even when I'm unsure about eliminating an answer for one reason, I might be like, oh, yeah, maybe that works. But then I come across another reason. I'm like, well, that's a slam dunk. That is out.
Yeah.
And so I'm spending 10 seconds on an answer, 2 seconds on an answer choice that you're spending maybe 30, sometimes even 60 seconds because someone's debating it over and over again. So confidence comes with knowledge. Anyways. D, does the argument ignore the possibility that the amount of dirt removed in the test by the old vacuum cleaner is greater than the amount of dirt removed by the Super XL?
Again, it does ignore that possibility. You know, it didn't like weigh the dirt.
It didn't address that.
That my vacuum collected and then compare it to the amount of dirt that the Super XL collected. All this dude did is he, you know, you can imagine his just sleazy sales presentation, but he just very dramatically goes to the chamber on the Super XL and holds it up so that I can see all the dirt that's in the Super XL, and he's like, all this dirt was left behind by your vacuum.
Yeah.
And if you came back and said, well, but my vacuum picked up even more, all he would do is go, I know, but why didn't it pick up all this?
Yeah.
And so, you know, your old vacuum very likely picked up more. I mean, it went first. It didn't pick up zero. Stuff.
Yeah.
It very likely picked up more. It just didn't pick up all of it. And so this guy's going to go back to, that got a whole big bunch of dirt, but look, there's all this dirt that it left behind, and the Super XL is better, you see. Because it picked up all the left behind dirt. And so even though the argument did ignore this possibility, again, it's just not like really pointing out the critical problem. I think this question is a pretty good demonstration of how important it is that you attack the argument in the first place. Because I can certainly see being attracted by A or D.
Okay. E. Does the argument ignore the possibility that if the Super XL had been used first, it would have left behind just as much dirt as did the old vacuum cleaner?
Yeah, essentially, you didn't run the experiment the other way. Like, you're obviously assuming that if you had run the Super XL first, you think, you know, you're trying to claim that it wouldn't have left all this dirt behind.
Yeah.
But because I never got to see the trial run the exact opposite way, and it wouldn't have been hard, by the way, like, you've got the carpet right in front of you. Do half of it one way and do the other half of it the other way, and then show me the comparison. Otherwise, this is just a gimmick, like a little party trick. You know, and so you did ignore that possibility. And that possibility is a big problem for you. If the Super XL had been used first, it might have left behind just as much dirt as my vacuum did. And if that were the case, then your experiment is like completely useless to you. And so that's one where they did that. And that problem is so devastating that it would completely kill their entire case. And so this argument is most vulnerable on those grounds.
Yeah. By the way, the correct answer could also have said something like ignores the possibility that if they had, you know, done a different test, one in which both vacuum cleaners were run at the same time, the old one might have performed better. That would have been correct too, because the argument has ignored so many possibilities, but that's true for all arguments, like you said at the beginning.
And,
yeah.
And if none of the answers were any good.
Yeah.
I mean, if they wanted to make this question hard.
Yeah.
The correct answer could have been like, ignores the possibility that cost is a more important variable sure. than the amount of dirt that's picked up in a trial or something like that. And it's like, if I can't pick any of the other answers, then I could end up settling for like, oh, well, okay, I thought it was going to bust like them for their bullshit methodology in this actual study. But, you know, a fake study that they did. But they also ignored all these other potentially relevant factors. And if I can't pick any of the other answers, then I could end up settling for that.
Absolutely. And I don't know how much you'd be settling. I mean, the conclusion brazenly says better.
Yeah.
That's just a blanket claim. It's like, okay, well, if there's any factor not discussed that should be considered, then it's not better necessarily.
It would just be tricky because they gave us specifics of a bogus study, right?
Yeah.
Like this guy.
It's distracting.
It doesn't even prove that the Super XL is better at picking up dirt.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it would be like the correct answer in that case would be like on this weird technicality of like, well, the conclusion is broader than the study, even though the study didn't even justify a narrower conclusion. We could also say it's a flaw because the conclusion is broader than it would have been justified, even if it were a good argument, which it wasn't.
A good study, so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, so it is.
Email daily at lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.